And now, from San Francisco, the gay capital of the Western Hemisphere, KSAN presents The Gay Life. Hi, I'm Randy Alfred. This morning, we'll present highlights of the 6th annual installation dinner of the Golden Gate Business Association, which was held January 17th at the United Irish Cultural Center in San Francisco. The Golden Gate Business Association is gay business people and their friends working together to build a better community. You'll hear an address by San Francisco Supervisor Harry Britt, remarks by Cynthia Neff, the Vice President of GGBA, Arthur Lazare, the President, and a speech by San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein. The evening was emceed by feminist comic Robin Tyler. Among the other dignitaries present were San Francisco Assemblyman Art Agnos, San Francisco Senator Milton Marks, Police Chief Cornelius Murphy, Fire Chief Andy Casper, Board of Supervisors President John Molinari, and Supervisors Carol Ruth Silver and Quentin Kopp. Also, the newly appointed Police Commissioner Joe Daly, who was a guest on The Gay Life 2 weeks ago, and Charter Commissioner Frank Fitch. And now, MC Robin Tyler.
Yes, I am not gay. I am a lesbian, but I am festive. And my new political motto is, if it was good enough for Eleanor Roosevelt, it is good enough for me. Since the gay press is here, I'm going to announce tonight that I am asking October 11th to be declared a National Lesbian Day in the United States because it was Eleanor's birthday. And we can all write each other love letters, and our parents can claim it's just literary and we don't mean it. Oh, Dianne, don't you just love these dinners? I'm Jewish. I don't even, I don't eat. It goes from the lips to the hips. I mean, nothing. At least this time for $25, we got roast beef. I mean, these kids went all out. And look at this hall. Now, you got to know the boys decorated this hall. Look at this. I mean, they told me there were shamrocks all over. I said, well, what do you expect? It's an Irish hall, you know. But this is in good taste, isn't it? Working all afternoon to do this for you. I'm so glad to be performing indoors. I have spoken at your rally in... You're only 400, but thousands will be seeing that picture. I was in Sacramento on Sunday, and oh yes, how many of you were there? During the John Briggs Memorial Storm, and well, let's face it, Briggs had to come up with an issue. He's got the personality of a snail on Valium. So it is a political year, and I know there are Democrats and Republicans in the audience, so I will knock both sides. I've come out with a great idea for his campaign. We are coming out, Dianne, with Dykes for Reagan. Put him right down the old pooper. Hi, Ronald. We love you and support you. Hi, honey. Know your daughter, Nancy. Hi, honey. Needless to say, I am a big fan of Jimmy Carter, whose favorite color is plaid. I think the straight community, I don't like to call them straight because if they're straight, we're crooked, but if we're gay, they are morose. But I think it's wonderful to see straight men not wearing polyester here tonight. Now, you guys know how to dress. Well, Hollywood gossip. I am Radio Free Hollywood. Some stars that are not out of the closet yet. Speaking of job discrimination, Miss Piggy is gay. Yes, she is. No. Hello, Robin. C'est moi. As you may know, I traveled to the National March on Washington, and we went on a train called Amtrak. And I don't know, are there any of the Amtrak people here tonight? The guys from... Oh, good, one Amtrak guy. I love it. Would you believe that the guys had a piano put in the bar and had a gay bar for 3 days on that train? It was wonderful. And they charged my lover and I $100 extra for our compartment because we weren't married. This is Amtrak. And we stopped in every town. Every town... Oh. My prayers have been answered. We stopped in every town, and it was interesting going to Lincoln, Nebraska at 2 in the morning, and people would come out in Ogden, Utah at 4 in the morning, and gays and lesbians would come out and meet us. And in some towns there were just a few, but in every town the press would come out. So what we'd do is I would go, and I would wake the guys up in the front car, and I would say, "We're coming into a town," and they would run around the train, and every time I got off the train, they would meet us in every town, the same Amtrak guys. "Hello, welcome to our city." Darling, it was the gay version of Chorus Line. I loved it. And they knew exactly where to applaud. Well, we have come a long way. Mr. Montoya, what can I say about him? There goes the Desi Arnaz fan club. We will push it through. You're my kind of audience. You're getting loud and drunk. I love it. It's like we're in a club. I know who she is. Spent nights in her apartment, honey. I know where she's sitting. All right. Not with her, but she did give me the apartment. I'm sorry. Little decorum here, right? Okay. I am 37 years old, and I came out in Canada in 1959. When I was 16 years old, I found out that I was a lesbian. And I used to stand on the corner in Winnipeg of Portage and Maine with a gay guy, Terry Bashuk, holding a sign saying, "Gay is good." And people thought we meant happy and would give us money. I mean, this is... And Terry was the first gay man I ever knew. And I said, "Well, Terry, why are you gay? Was your mother too aggressive, your father too passive?" And he said, "No, darling, I was just born lucky. Ah." And I said, "Well, Terry, how do you tell if a man is gay?" And he says, "It's very easy, darling. It's 1959. Any man that can sing all four sides of Judy Garland's Carnegie Hall album is gay, darling. Clang, clang, clang with the jolly." Oh, I'm so glad you guys are getting this. I talk about camping and the dyke sink at setting up a tent and getting rained on. Dyke is a good word. I told my mother dyke means doctor of young karate expert. She still doesn't know. Yes, well, one day Terry and I were walking down the street in 1959 in Canada, and he was very, very proud. Well, he should have been. He was wearing mother's mink. Anyway, and somebody came over to him and said, "I know what you are. You're one of them homosexuals." "Well, I think they should take all of you homosexuals and put them on an island someplace." And Terry said, "They did, darling, and they call it Manhattan." Ah. I would like to know, just as a matter of interest, I am Jewish. How many Jewish people are there in this audience tonight? A lot of us, hey? And Catholics in this audience, or former Catholics? You see, aha. Not much difference. Jews have guilt, Catholics have shame, you see? That's it. When you're Catholic, you do something wrong, you go to your priest, you get absolved, and say a few Hail Marys, pay some money to the church, and everything's okay. Not if you're Jewish. When you're Jewish, if you spill your pablum when you're 6 months old, your mother says you're going to carry it with you to the grave. My mother would always say, "Oi." Do you know what "oi" is? "Oi" is the Jewish primal scream. "Oi!" I grew up thinking my mother was a philosopher because she always used to go around saying, "Why me? Why me?" But in 59 as a middle-class Jewish mother in Canada. She took my coming out very well. I told her that I was a lesbian, and on my next birthday, she sent me a large check made out to whom it may concern. So... I knew Diane would get these jokes. I just knew it. When I grew up, of course, it wasn't chic to act Jewish, so you heard of the Schick school to stop smoking. My mother sent me to the Schickse school to stop acting Jewish. There they taught me to eat Velveeta cheese on a bagel. I mean, you know. You know, I'm introducing all of you attorneys. You're lucky I'm giving you a break. I went with a woman attorney for 6 months, and I swear, I called it relationship with a rider. I mean... She would ask me, she'd say, Robin, I want to see you Saturday night. The date will be including but not limited to dinner, a movie, and sex. I mean, you attorneys, really. But I'm going to forgive you anyway. I have introduced you so many times, darling. We should travel as a comedy team. We're the Cheech and Chong of politics, you and I. I like him. I like Harry Britt because he understands that the gay movement is not just about crotch politics, that we're a coalition movement, that we care about older gays and poor gays and blacks and women. And Harry has put himself on the line to fight a multitude of issues and fight for a multitude of issues. He is my brother because he is a feminist man. And for me to call a man feminist takes a lot. The man has had to do a lot. So it is my honor to present Supervisor Harry Britt.
Thanks a lot. It's becoming a tradition for me to come here each year and offer a few remarks about the San Francisco Police Department. Last year, I failed to notice that our police chief was with us, and he called that to my attention. This year, I have indeed noticed that our police chief, is he leaving us? It worked a little faster this year, didn't it? No. I just want to say if Con Murphy is still here, or if he's not, that in the very short time that he's been a part of the leadership of this city, that every single person I know who's come into contact with him is aware that he's gone way, way farther than we had any right to expect him to establish the best possible relationship with everybody. He's earned my trust, and I hope that he'll have yours too. Thanks, Con. The real reason I was here last year as one of the first duties as a newly appointed supervisor was to ask the leadership and membership of GGBA to take a real role in pulling the gay community one step forward as a productive, contributing part of society. You've done that, and I'm honored to be your guest again. But I want to single out from all of these people two special people to me, Cynthia Neff and Arthur Lazare, who in the year past have always been there when I've called upon them and have earned a great deal of my love and respect. And I'm just pleased as punch that you have honored them with another chance to carry us to great new levels of achievement in 1980. As newly elected officers and members of the Board of Directors of the Golden Gate Business Association, do you swear to uphold the bylaws of the association as a nonprofit corporation of the state of California? And do you swear to assist the organization in meeting the following goals? To promote and strengthen member businesses, to improve the gay community through educational and charitable efforts, to work for the dignity and rights of all gay men and lesbians, to build bridges from the gay community to the broader community. Do you so swear? And your response is, we do so swear.
We do so swear.
Thanks. Let's work together.
Terrific. Good. We're all sworn in. It is wonderful. I mean, look, would we have imagined this 10 years ago? I mean, I stood in Washington, and I produced a show where lesbians and gay men came together through culture, and 10,000 people sat out in the cold and watched the show at night. And do you know what it was like to have the gay male chorus facing the Washington Monument singing Blow the Man Down? I mean, this... I'm working clean tonight, Diane. Okay. And now for the presentation of the Community Service Award, Cynthia Neff. Cynthia? Oh. Thank you on behalf of... Oh, it's not for me.
No, hi. Well, it's a really great honor and a pleasure to offer this year's first annual Golden Gate Business Association's Award for Community Service. The concept of the award grew out of a need to feel that we could publicly recognize the people who had really made an outstanding contribution to our community. And so what we're going to do is each year, this trophy will have the recipient's name engraved on it, and that recipient will hold the award for 1 year. And then through the years, it will be passed down, and we will be establishing a kind of history for posterity. And this year's award, with much ado and much fanfare, is for gay rights advocates. And if Joel McCrary...
I'd like to tell you that we appreciate this very, very much. Gay Rights Advocates is one of about 4 legal organizations in this entire country whose purpose is to serve the needs of the lesbian and gay male community in terms of trying to change the laws, make sure that they apply equally and fairly to gay people. Believe it or not, with 2 attorneys on staff, we're the largest of those organizations, and the one that really tries to do something at a national level. There are times when we feel like we're the Lone Ranger out there. This is the sort of support that we need to help us carry on. It's something that we will cherish and remember always. We'll take this support with us when we defeat the Briggs Initiative in its new home in Oklahoma. We'll take this support with us when we go back to Washington, D.C., to defeat the asinine policy of the Immigration and Naturalization Service in this country. We do it because of you, and we can't do it without you. Thank you.
Another honor and privilege that I have is presenting a check to Les Morgan. Les Morgan, for those of you who don't know, is with the Gay Outreach Program, and he has practically single-handedly and with no public monies has done an extraordinary thing in trying to make sure that the police department was open for gay men and women. And for that, he deserves a lot of credit, and he's done a lot of work to really help all of us make sure that the police department is well represented from the gay community. And he needs a lot of help financially, too, and for that, we're really glad to be able to help. Les?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of the fact that we have established gay police recruitment as an international issue without spending one dime of taxpayers' money. That's a testament to the vigor of our community. And I want you all to know that we're recruiting now to get more lesbians and gay men into the force. My home telephone number is 775-1000. If there's anybody in the gay community that doesn't know that fact, you know it now. If anybody would like some information, please give us a call. Now's the time to do it. And thank you again.
I think money is always in good taste, don't you? You don't have to worry about size or color, and no one ever gives it back. Fits. I am supposed to announce the Alice B. Toklas Memorial Democratic Club and a host of fantastic people invite you to attend a cocktail party at the home of Louise and Jack Molinari, 154 Lombard Street, San Francisco. To get that FBI, 154 Lombard. With special guest, Police Chief Cornelius Murphy, Sunday, January 27th, 1980, 4 to 7 p.m. The donation is $15 with a no host or hostess bar. Oh, that was good consciousness. Okay, so... you know, as people get awards and I stand up and up here and get an enormous amount of privilege and introduce to you people that have worked very hard, I think of the hundreds of thousands of lesbians and gay men to whom we owe an awful lot. I know that coming out of being an old, well, thanks to Anita Bryant, I am a born-again butch. I used to be a butch, now I'm a dyke, same thing, I make breakfast in the morning. But Anita Bryant's to Christianity what paint by numbers is to art. But the point is that we owe a lot to people. I am so happy that I am different. I am so happy that I am different in this society because when you are born different and when you are born having to fight and to live on the edge of the things, you have a chance in your life to make things magnificent. You have a chance to do more than dance your way to isolation through a disco beat. You have a chance to do more than just walk through life. I saw a disgusting documentary on ABC on homosexuals, which I turned down because there were no homosexual or lesbian advisors on that documentary. But one thing that one of the gay men did say that made sense was that when you are different, you live in a brilliance, you live on the edge. And a lot of people come up to me and they say, Robin, we just want to show straight people that we're as good as they are. And I am telling you that you are so much better than so many people, because when you survive the kind of indignities, when we all do, that we have had to survive, the penal institutions and the mental institutions, the behavior modification, being called faggot and freak and fairy and dyke, and when you realize that we're going to change it so that the 10 to 12% of the little boys and girls that grow up that are going to be gay are not going to be called these names, that we are going to save our own children from this kind of indignity, then I look out and I say that we are a magnificent group of people, and thank goodness we were born different.
This is The Gay Life on KSAN, and we're presenting the Golden Gate Business Association installation dinner of January 17, 1980.
And now I would like to present the President, Arthur Lazare. Arthur.
A year ago, when I addressed those attending, am I being heard? Okay. A year ago, that's terrible.
Back.
More better. All right. A year ago, when I addressed those attending the GGBA dinner, I started with a funny story. This year I have no time for funny stories. I have promised to keep my remarks brief, and as usual, I have an awful lot to say. In January 1979, we were still numb with the pain and loss resulting from the homophobic assassinations of George Moscone and Harvey Milk. This year, that pain remains with us still and reminds us how far we have yet to go. Last year, a theme of this speech was about coming out of the closet. In 1979, GGBA was out of the darkness of the closet and quickly grew accustomed to the light. The closet is our community's symbol of the psychological and economic and political oppression of that 10% of the population which is homosexual. Once that opposition is fully understood, once that oppression is fully understood by those who suffer from it, they will never willingly return to hiding in the darkness. And so to those who continue in the bigotry and hatred of the past, I say, watch out. We are here to stay, and we have just begun our fight. A year ago, GGBA had need to get its house in order. We promised to get an office open and staff it in order to efficiently handle the informational tasks that an effective organization must perform. Our office did open on March 1st, and our executive secretary, Kim Courtright, has been working hard and productively for the goals of GGBA since that date. A year ago, we promised to be active in the formation of a national gay business organization. We had an exploratory meeting in San Francisco in June, which was followed in November with meetings in New York. Those meetings resulted in the creation of the National Association of Business Councils, comprised at its birth of a dozen local business groups from all parts of the United States, with a total membership of more than 1,500 gay business and professional people and their friends. I understand that at the next meeting of the association in May, we will have 20 cities participating and a total membership of over 2,500. Already the presence of the NABC is being felt. We have been included in White House conferences, and we have open communications with several government agencies in Washington. One of our goals is to get the Small Business Administration to classify gays as a minority so that more of that SBA loan money starts flowing into our community. We promised last January to reach out to the women's community, and we have made many efforts to do so. The numbers of women who are members of GGBA have increased, but the percentage is still far too low. Next month, our program will be on the subject of women in business. We hope that not only women will attend the program, but that our male membership will turn out in large numbers to express their support of the women in our community. We must be concerned, too, with the disproportionately small number of black and Latino and Asian gays in GGBA. And we are committed to reaching out to those members of the gay business community as well. In the past year, we have given needed attention to bread-and-butter membership services, which GGBA wants to provide. For the first time this year, we have had a regular monthly newsletter. Our buyer's guide has been significantly improved and put on a meaningful biannual schedule. Our telephone referral service is working effectively, particularly since we started advertising this service in the press. We made group medical insurance available this year, and the board has approved a group dental program which will be online shortly. Our educational seminars during the year have covered the areas of real estate, advertising, and personnel practices. Further areas of membership service are planned for 1980. We are investigating the possibility of credit union affiliation. Through the National Association, we are negotiating for special lower rates with MasterCharge and Visa so that our members can pay reduced merchant service charges. We plan to develop this year a business code of ethics for our members and appropriate procedures for dealing with complaints about member businesses. Last January, we expressed concern over the problems between the gay community and the San Francisco Police Department. We didn't stop with talking about it. We have been active in programs of meetings between gay people and the officers and rank and file of the police department. We have been supportive of Les Morgan's gay outreach program. We have assisted to the program of orientation about the gay community, which is presented to all recruits going through the police academy. GGBA support of important community programs takes the form of money, or mailing privileges, or newsletter publicity, or volunteer time, or a combination. Such efforts have not been restricted to police programs. We have assisted California Human Rights Advocates, the gay lobbying effort in Sacramento, gay rights advocates, the Gay Freedom Day Marching Band, the Gay Men's Chorus, the American Civil Liberties Union, which is making substantial efforts in the fight for gay rights, the Women's Alternative Health Services, the March on Sacramento, the Whitman Radcliffe Foundation, the Gay Youth Community Coalition, Job Power, and at Christmas time, the patients at Laguna Honda Hospital. Cynthia and I have been active participants in the Fourth Thursday Gay and Lesbian Council. We promised last year to be more outspoken on issues of concern to our members, and we've kept that promise too. When an English journalist en route to San Francisco to report on Gay Freedom Week is detained by Immigration and Naturalization Service bureaucrats, we are all humiliated, gays and non-gays alike. When lesbians are harassed and detained en route from Canada to a women's music festival in Michigan, we are all humiliated. When a Mexican fashion designer is strip searched by the INS at San Francisco Airport, we are all humiliated. Not only is the INS still seeking to exclude homosexual visitors from this country, but Secretary of State Vance has instructed all United States consular officials overseas to deny visas to any persons they even suspect of being homosexual. Add to these actions the president's appointment of homophobe Reuben Askew to a cabinet-level post, and the president's dismissal of Midge Costanza, and the conclusion is crystal clear. We have a president and an administration who make a major public relations production on the subject of human rights while abandoning the gay community in the cause of political expedience. Our own Mayor Feinstein has spoken out strongly to the administration, deploring the immigration policies. We're appreciative of her efforts, and we have told her so. Last year, I got some static because I made a mild joke about Senator Hayakawa. Perhaps the problem was that the offended parties thought I was being partisan. As president of GGBA, I consider it to be my responsibility to speak out when this community is treated unfairly or insensitively by anyone in government, regardless of party affiliation. Senator Hayakawa continues to publicly label gay people as emotionally stunted and to further assert that national gay rights legislation isn't necessary. You know, and I know, that such legislation is necessary. We have written to Senator Cranston, urging him to co-sponsor national gay rights legislation in the Senate, which to date he has refused to do. Last week, however, Senator Cranston did agree to introduce legislation to eliminate the problematic provisions of the Immigration Act. If someone had said to me a year ago that the champion for gay rights in 1980 would be Jerry Brown, I would have been skeptical. Governor Brown's record speaks for itself. He appointed for the first time anywhere an upfront gay to the state judiciary. He issued an executive order on non-discrimination in state hiring with unqualified support for state and national gay rights legislation. What other presidential candidate of either party can come close to that record? Right. We may not choose our candidates on the basis of the gay issue alone, but we must be realistic about who stands where on that issue. And so we will continue to speak out and let those who support us know we appreciate their support, and let those who oppose us know that there is a political price to pay for such opposition. Let me move, if I may, to the world of business, GGBA's area of special interest. The president of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, Bill Dower, made a number of clearly anti-gay remarks to the press last year. We wrote to Mr. Dower, and a group of us met with him recently. We are hopeful that our message has been understood, and we intend to continue our dialogue with the chamber. Another member of the business community has not been as responsive. Ed Daly, homophobic president of World Airways, stated in a memorandum to his employees recently that World Airways, and I quote, does not need hoodlums, racketeers, or queers. We wrote to Mr. Daly asking for a retraction of and an apology for those unfortunate remarks. As a result of our letter, similar letters were sent by a number of our friends, including Art Agnos and the National Gay Task Force. To date, not one of us has had a response. As a result, the GGBA Board of Directors, at its January meeting, approved a boycott of World Airways. We have already received endorsements by the Gay Teachers and School Workers Coalition and the Alice B. Toklas Democratic Club. We are seeking other endorsements, and we will begin a program of publicity for this action. There is one more issue I wish to touch on tonight. It has a fancy name, gentrification. Gentrification is what city planners call the return of young professional people from the suburb to the central cities, where they have taken to buying old and run-down housing and restoring it. It is happening in major cities all over the country. Gay people are among those participating in this rehabilitation of the cities, and so too are non-gay people. Gentrification is not a gay issue. It is an economic issue and a housing issue. Those leaders who are trying to kindle this issue as a conflict between blacks and gays or Latinos and gays are doing a serious disservice, not only to the gay community, but to their own communities as well. Instead of scapegoating the gay community and fostering mistrust and conflict and divisiveness, I suggest to those leaders that their constituencies and all the people of San Francisco will be better served if we work together on the serious problem of adequate, affordable housing for all. I have talked about a few of the issues of concern to us and some of the accomplishments of GGBA in the past 12 months. The response to those accomplishments has been an increase in GGBA membership from 190 a year ago to 430 tonight. That response is gratifying. It is the strength and combined efforts of our membership that gives this organization credibility in the gay and in the broader community. It is the dedication of our members that allows us to continue to work toward a better community for all. And I'm very proud to be a part of you.
To follow. I think that a lot of us may be aware that in having to overcome all of our lives, tremendous obstacles. If anybody should understand the obstacle of poverty, we should. As an artist, all my life, a lot of my life, my first 12 years, I was broke. I wasn't poor. I was broke. Broke is poor with hope. But there are a lot of people who are poor. The average woman in San Francisco earns approximately $700 a month. The average lesbian earns slightly over $500 a month. So we are not a group of homocrats. We understand that we represent a community that is not as privileged as ourselves, and we want to have real good politics around representing and protecting the rights of all of our community. I myself am praying that they don't convert my apartment into a condominium in L.A. because they're going to sell it to me for $200,000, and that's a lot of money, even for a comic. You know what I mean? 200 grand. Now, the next woman I am about to introduce, Diane, is getting married on Sunday. Think of the great press you'll get if I give you away. Now, come on, Diane. Fortunately for you, I am booked that day. However, it will look great. Oh, which one is she marrying? Okay. A lot of women, as we know, get married, and little do they know when they say, I do, how much they're going to have to. It's not going to be easy to be married to you, Diane, just like it. I mean, here we are. They get to sit down there. We get to sit on the dais. Nobody can see when we drop our salad. You know what I mean? It ain't easy being married to a popular public official, but we wanted to present you with something that you probably wouldn't be caught dead in, but if you wanted to... No, this will look good on you, Diane. This is what this is the Gay Business Association is their T-shirt, and they wanted me not only to introduce you as our keynote speaker, not only to hit on you for money for our cultural foundation and support... and support in every other gay and lesbian cause that is going to come up, but also to present you with this wonderful T-shirt to congratulate you on the fact that you are getting married and also on the fact that you're still the mayor, Diane Feinstein.
Thank you very much, Robin, President Arthur, Supervisor Britt, colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, distinguished officers at the head table, and ladies and gentlemen. It really is a great pleasure to be here. You know, a year ago I was invited to address this gathering, and we had to go to Washington. Almost happened again this year, except that's next week. And I want you to know that part of my agenda has to do with something that Arthur said, and that is the Immigration Department's policies with respect to gay admission to the United States. And Arthur, you are correct. I have written to the President and written to others, and now I'm going to personally discuss it with the White House staff on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. It will be my intention to ask for a reversal of this policy, and also be my intention to meet with Senator Cranston and indicate and carry back with you, with me, your strong support for that legislation. Along another line, you know, we all look at ideas whose time have come. And it seems to me that one of the things that this country is all about is opportunity. And maybe for a few moments we should talk about it, because we're in this hall. Remember, those of you that have read Leon Uris's book, Trinity, perhaps says a great deal about what America is all about and the problems of people forgetting that America truly is a land of opportunity. What brings this to mind is I missed it in the paper this morning. I'm sure Art Agnos saw it, and Arthur Lazar brought it to my attention, and that is Mr. Montoya's statement that to be for an anti-discrimination clause that would prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in employment would push anybody's people to the back of the bus really shows a lack of an understanding of what this country is all about. And I think you got to go back and understand all of our roots. When the Irish first came to America, and there were only certain areas of employment open to them, and so Irish people became very much involved in police and fire departments because those were areas in which they could perform. When Chinese came to San Francisco and the massive discrimination that existed at the time, even when they could not get the same law enforcement in this city applied to Chinatown, and hence the development of the whole Tong movement, the benevolent associations which protected their own because the law and order of the city wouldn't extend that same kind of protection. And the Jews, when they would come to a country or a city, would face the same kind of discrimination. And the quota systems that grew up as a product of, if a group is good in one area and you want to discriminate, you eliminate by virtue of a quota. And when the blacks began after the 1964 Civil Rights Act to assert their rights, and this has existed for virtually every group, but one thing that we have learned through it all is that there is room for everyone in this country. And that is America's strength. And not to understand this and not to recognize it really sounds the death knell to what we know as our democracy. And I would like personally, if I may, on behalf of everyone here, to thank Assemblyman Agnos for spearheading his bill. As he said, and I'm proud, if it's not this year, it's going to be next year. And if it's not next year, it's going to be the year after. For one simple reason, that there is plenty of love to go around. And all that's asked in this legislation is opportunity, is to prevent discrimination and to provide what is basic to the survival of anyone in a competitive culture, and that's the right to earn a living. Robin, you've got a unique talent, and I'm really very pleased to have a chance to meet you, and I'm delighted that you mentioned the fact that on Sunday I'm going to be getting married. And you're right. I wonder if Dick really understands what he's getting into. Because here we are, 2 days before, 3 days before our wedding here. And last night it was the Eureka Valley Promotion Association, and the night before something else. And that's the way life is going to be. But I think everybody in this room understands that you have to have, in our society, a personal life. and you have to have the ability to share not only the good moments, but more importantly, the bad moments with someone that you like. So, Dick, stand up, because it's going to be a rough go. I'm not sure that anybody can run this city and get newly married at the same time, but we're sure as heck going to find out. The major goal of this administration, and I'm pleased that Jack Molinari and Carol Rusilver and Harry Britt are here, is really to put aside some of our history. The confrontations of the 1960s, the divisiveness of the 70s, and try and succeed to put this city together with a sense of unity. We're small enough, we're bright enough, and we're creative enough to do it. And that's really going to be the message of the administration. I want to work with you. There are going to be problems, sure. But there really aren't any problems, if you think about it, that can't be solved. I don't expect anybody or everybody to think as I do. And you don't expect me necessarily to think as you do. But the key is good communication. I can't be in your head. You can't be in my head. We can't be in the head of the person next to us, no matter how much we might care about that person. But the test of our ability is the ability to communicate and understand and come to that middle ground of policy, which can enable us as a society to move forward, to replace inequity with equity, to provide the kind of environment that can provide the creative stimulus to a very deep respect of a neighbor to a neighbor, of a friend to a friend, and even an understanding of an adversary, because that's the test of this society. I'm really very, very proud of this city, because we're a city not only with a unique history, we are, in fact, a unique city and a unique people. And what I said on the 8th, when I took that oath of office, that I really believe that civility and tolerance are the signs of a great people. I want to see us apply them. I want to see us apply them with a dignity, with a forcefulness, and with a dedication. And we can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone. But together, I very deeply believe that this city can be a city apart from all other cities, that we can solve the problems of unemployment, we can provide the jobs, we can solve social problems, and we can enact enlightened social policy as an executive and as a legislative body. So in essence, that is our quest. It is not an impossible dream. Everybody in this room knows that it's possible. And therefore, the challenge is for us to work together to work it out. I look forward to working with you in 1980. I'm very proud to be able to spend this evening, and it's a kind of special tribute to this association, to see you grow in strength, to see you accepted in credibility throughout the city. And I have no doubt that we're going to forge some new dimensions in the next few years. Let's stay together. Let's work together. Let's remember that San Francisco and America means opportunity, and that's for everybody. Thank you very much.
You know, when I talked about Diane's wearing the T-shirt, I didn't mean she wouldn't wear it because it was gay. I meant because it was kind of butch. But after the speech, Diane, I think you can feel it. that's a compliment. And Dick, you're very, very cute. I don't mean to be sexist. Right. We would like to thank Cynthia Neff for chairing this evening and for also hiring me for this event. Thank you very much, Cynthia. And
And I hope to see you on March 8th when we go in front of the Civic Center and once again we gather for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. Thank you very much and good night.
The Gay Life on KSAN has presented highlights of the Golden Gate Business Association's 6th Annual Installation Dinner of January 17th. If you're interested in more information on the Golden Gate Business Association, you can phone them at 956-8660 or write to them at 111 O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. That's 956-8660 or write to Golden Gate Business Association, 111 O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. One of the things we edited out of that tape was a pitch for money that was made that was very relevant to the way they were gathering it there that night. But Gay Rights Advocates, who received an award from GGBA, needs members. If you're interested in receiving a membership form, you can write to them at 540 Castro Street, San Francisco, 94114, or phone them at 863-3624. That's Gay Rights Advocates, 540 Castro Street, San Francisco, 94114, or phone them at 863-3624. If you'd like more information on the Gay Police Recruitment Program, which also received an award from GGBA that night, you can phone them at 775-1000. That's the Gay Police Recruitment Program at 775-1000. This year, the 3rd National Lesbian and Gay Health Conference is being held in San Francisco at San Francisco State University from June 19th to 22nd. The goal for the conference is to improve health care for lesbians and gay men. The conference hopes to begin to clarify and educate lesbian and gay health workers about gay health issues, to organize for social change in the health care delivery system, and to construct communication and support networks. The conference organizers want as many people as possible to know about their conference and to help plan for it. If you're interested, you should go to the next general planning meeting, which will be held on January 29th at 7:30 p.m. at 2252 Fillmore Street between Sacramento and Clay in San Francisco. That's January 29th, 7:30 p.m., 2252 Fillmore Street between Sacramento and Clay in San Francisco. The meeting is wheelchair accessible. If you'd like more information, you can phone 282-3913 or 548-3984. That's 282-3913 or 548-3984 for more information about the 3rd National Lesbian and Gay Health Conference. Well, that about wraps it up for the Gay Life this morning. You've heard highlights of the Golden Gate Business Association's annual dinner, with speeches by Supervisor Harry Britt, Mayor Dianne Feinstein, GGBA President Arthur Lazare, awards by GGBA Vice President Cynthia Neff, and reception speeches by Gerald McCrary of Gay Rights Advocates and Les Morgan of the Gay Police Recruitment Program. The Gay Life is engineered by Ern Morgan, sitting in for Rick Sadle, and produced by me, Randy Alfred. I also write 2 columns, Taking Sides and On Live, for The Sentinel, which is available in gay neighborhoods throughout San Francisco. If you're listening on Saturday morning, this show will be repeated late Sunday night at 1 a.m. So please tell a friend about The Gay Life on KSAN.